We want to take just a second to thank our sponsors who make this show possible. 316 Services. They take the time to perform excavation services right the very first time. Nectar Bridge, providing back office support for small businesses. They help small business owners to manage their invoicing and paying their vendors to keep their business running smoothly. And Indian Mountain ATV Park, located 11620 County Road 8, Piedmont, Alabama. You can find links to all these companies in the show notes.
And old Turkey come on up there, and he got there. And then all at once, he got up on his tiptoes, and he knew something wasn't right. And I said, shoot him. And I mean, he ain't 30 yards, and the boy didn't shoot. And I'm sitting there. You know, I didn't carry a gun. You know, most of the time when I'm guiding, I don't carry a gun. But anyhow, old Turkey, he was on his tiptoes looking. I said, woo. I said, shoot him. Anyhow, I must have told him to shoot him five times. And all at once, two, he shot. Old Turkey just kind of eyeballs, looked like he got that big. He backed up. I said, shoot him again. And he didn't move. Well, I jumped up because I had blood in my eyes. Like I was telling you, I grabbed the gun away from the boy. And I...
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hayden, Alabama podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm the old turkey man, Eddie Salter.
I'm Mark Brenner.
We are just...
I'm tickled pink.
Tickled to death. I'm even more happy. I tell you, we got the call the other day and that this will be possible. And it was just a beautiful thing. And it's Shane and I was talking about it. I said, can you believe this is happening? Because we used to watch you on TV. TK and Mike.
Give me five, man. Yeah.
Y'all need to come get me. This old one boy looks like a stick of bubble gum.
That's right. Just wants to give me five. That's right. I tell you what, I had a ball doing that. And, you know, that's what really is what turkey hunting is all about, is be able to share stories and, you know, memories of things that's happened through your life. And, man, I'm going to share some good ones with y'all here if y'all let me do it.
Hey, we're going to get out of the way. You go ahead. Tell us your favorite story, Mr.
Well, you know, first of all, you know, how did I become turkey man? Well, It all started for me when I got out of high school. I started becoming a barber. You know, and you look at things that the good Lord gives you, you know, and that was probably the best thing that he could have ever done for me. He gave me an education on how to deal with people, how to talk to folks while I was cutting their hair. And it's helped me through my business, you know, just unbelievable. But, you know, the thing that I look at is, hey, I got an opportunity right here. And, guys, y'all think about it a little bit. You look at the landowners that comes in there that's in real estate, that's farming, that, you know, owns land. And I get to know these people and you know, it don't take long. You know, I realize, hey, I got a good thing. God's blessed me here. And the reason I say that is, hey, when I cut his hair, I start cutting his hair. And the first thing I asked him about halfway through that haircut, have you been seeing any turkeys on your property out there?
A little conversation.
Yeah, you seen any turkeys? And then he says, yeah. And then you see a smile on Eddie Salter's face right there.
That's right.
And then I go on and cut his hair, you know, and get him fixed up. And then I turn him around to mirrors and ask him, does that look okay? And he's, yeah, that looks fine, son. And then I would break out, you know, we had a little old machine there you could pour soapy water in. And it would actually heat it up, and it'd be leather. We call hot leather foam, you know, just soapy. Oh, we go around your ears, and it feels so nice. But I'd soap him all around his ears and neck. And I'd break out me a straight razor about that long, and I made sure that he seen me touch it up on that leather strap I had on my barber chair. Well, I'd start shaving around that right ear, and I'd grab that left ear right there. I'd put that razor on top of it. And so, well, you know, a while ago I asked you a question about if you had any turkeys or you've been seeing any turkeys and you said you had, do you think it's any way possible that I can come go turkey hunting this year? You know, guys, I never did get turkeys.
I bet you didn't.
Since you got that razor so close.
So, hey, I had a gift and I took advantage of it. But now I'm going to jump on a story right there that I cut this guy. He was a farmer. And he was a big farmer, and he had two sons, and one of them become real good friends of mine. And he come in, and I was cutting his hair, and he said, Eddie, can I ask a favor of you? And I really, guys, at this particular time, I wasn't probably 22, 23 year old. I was young, still had a lot of blood in my eyes, you know, mm-hmm. and it was all about, you know, killing turkeys back then or shooting turkeys.
He was mad at us.
That's right, I was. And he said, they've been roosting right over top of a beaver pond. And see, we get over there and we call to them, and they got about 15 to 20 hens, and they'll fly out and go the other way. And he said, we'll get on the other side. They fly out where we were at the morning before. And he said, this has went on four or five times, and I'd love to. He's 16 years old. I'd love for you to try to kill him a turkey if you could. He ain't never killed one. I said, sure. I said, I'll go with him Saturday morning, but I got to get back up here and cut hair.
A job to do.
But, you know, Saturday morning, I didn't work on appointments. I worked on appointments during the week. So I could go in at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock if I needed to. If I knew I was going to be hunting a good place or whatever, I'd say 11 o'clock. But I might cut hair at 8 o'clock. That's why I said, the good Lord, I mean, he took care mm-hmm. of me. And so anyhow, I said, yeah, I'll see him Saturday morning. So we went out there. Sure enough, old turkey, it was two of them. And he said it was two of them. And boy, them hens, they went to cranking up. I said, ooh, I got some competition this morning here.
Ooh.
And so, you know, what I, in my mind, I said, you know, I got to, you know, be aggressive. I got to out call him. And I went to call him. I'm bad about a lot of times. I'll take a mouth call and a slate or a box call, and I'll run them together. I sound like two hens. Mm-hmm. And I went to call him. No turkey. Anyhow, the old hens pitched out like they, you know, like he said they would do the opposite way. Well, I noticed one of them old gobblers, I heard him, whoop, he hit the ground right out there just about, I could see him.
Mm-hmm.
And he started coming around there, and he come on around. He got closer, and he got closer. And I got this little boy here, and I said, well, just take it easy now. He's
yeah,
coming on
just
around.
Take it easy.
I said, he's coming to your right now. You need to kind of turn your gun to your right. Well, he never did move his gun. He just kept his gun there. And old turkey come on up there, and he got there. And then all at once, he got up on his tiptoes, and he knew something wasn't right. And I said, shoot him. And, I mean, he ain't 30 yards, and the boy didn't shoot. And I'm sitting there. You know, I didn't carry a gun. You know, most of the time when I'm guiding, I don't carry a gun. But anyhow, old turkey was on his tiptoes looking. I said, woo. I said, shoot him. Anyhow, I must have told him to shoot him five times. And all at once, two, he shot. Old turkey just kind of eyeballs, looked like he got that big. He backed up. I said, shoot him again. And he didn't move. Well, I jumped up because I had blood in my eyes. Like I was telling you, I grabbed the gun away from the boy, and I shot and killed a turkey. And I looked at him. I said, why didn't you shoot that turkey? And he said, well, I did. I shot that turkey right out there. So we shot two turkeys. He killed his turkey, and I took the same gun away from him.
Stole it from him and killed us.
And I wouldn't do that again for nothing in the world, guys. And we shot two turkeys with the same shotgun.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, yeah.
Some things are just meant to be.
Some things just happen.
He had an appointment with death that day.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I've always said when a turkey wants to die, you can't help but kill him. You know?
I don't know why I hadn't run him off, because I was saying, shoot him, you know, because I wanted him shot, you know. But
did you ever figure out what the boy was thinking when you were saying shoot him? He's probably like, I can't
shoot
him.
Well, he said he saw both turkeys fly down. I didn't see but one fly down. I didn't see the other one fly down. And he said, boy, he was strutting. And he said, when you were saying shoot, I just didn't have a real good shot. And then all at once, he appeared there, and I shot him. And, you know, I wish we'd had a video camera.
No
that would
kidding.
Have been something right there
Absolutely.
Behind us right
that
there.
That would have been the real deal. Well, that was a great starter.
It really was. It really was.
It probably was a little longer than what you wanted.
No, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. That's exactly what
we're sitting there with you.
Yeah, right in there waiting on that turkey.
It was great. And that's a great story when you can sit there. Like, you took me to a place I couldn't go. And that's what we try to do.
I saw the beaver pond. I saw them birds pitching down.
I don't know if those trees had leaves on them back then, but in my mind, they didn't.
No. They didn't. They really didn't. It was early season. It was pretty early right there. It was a beautiful setting, no doubt about it. It was about a 20-acre beaver pond, and it was fields on both sides, and you know, a little strip of woods along the beaver pond like it normally is, and it was beautiful right there.
Beautiful.
But, you know, you talk about, you know, God's faith, and I may go to crying with this.
That's
from here.
Fine
but,
with us.
But I took my daughter turkey hunting one morning. And she had never killed a turkey. And we went with a good friend of mine, and we went in there, and he's been fooling this turkey. And
it's so, always good when they're messing with him.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I always, you know, when I go to a hunting camp, you know, just because, you know, they say, well, old turkey man, they want to put me on the worstest turkey, you know.
Absolutely. Can't nobody kill. Listen.
Get him out of there. You know.
And most of the time, if they give that turkey a name, you don't want nothing to do with him. I don't care how good you are.
That's old Three Beard over there.
That's
oh,
right.
Lord,
you
I don't
want
that
nothing
one.
To do with. But anyhow,
Slippery Pete.
We were hunting. We were hunting in a pine plantation. They were about 25-year-old pines. They were about 20-inch pines. And, you know, it's rows of pines. It, you know, about every 8 foot, they had a row of pines. And the turkey was, he was kind of, you know, in a, what they call a SMZ, where it's little hardwoods, and then they plant them planted pines. But most paper companies or timber company land, that's the way it, most of them are anyhow. And he was roosting in them hardwoods. Well, we set up, had a video camera running. And sure enough, old turkey, you know, he was gobbling, and he was answering me every time I was calling to him. You know, when a turkey, a lot of times when you call to a turkey, and he cuts you off, and I'm going to pick this old box call up, and I'm going to illustrate what I'm talking about. When you call that old turkey, before you get through calling to that turkey, when you start calling to him, he's telling you he's very killable.
Yeah.
And he's really
shut your mouth. I'm on the way.
He's really telling you he wants to ride in your truck.
Yeah,
he wants to go home with you.
Yeah,
and that's what we want. We want him to go home. But anyhow, this girl, my little girl, I didn't have but one girl. Her name was Mallory, and this old turkey got to come in, but he jumped over a row. He got in there about, you know, I was talking to her, you know, and if you care somebody young, talk to them, say, hey, look, it's just a turkey.
It's
don't
turkey.
Get so nervous.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times you see the guns do figuring eights and all this right here. Well, just talk to them a little bit.
That's not normal.
No.
And so anyhow, the turkey got on up there, and I told her, I said, you know, I said, there he is right there. I said, you need to shoot him. And she didn't shoot. I said, shoot him. She didn't shoot. I said, shoot him. She didn't shoot. Shoot him. She didn't shoot. Ba-da-da. He turned and hit that row, and he was gone. And I said, well, why didn't you shoot him? She said, well, you was rushing me. You was hurrying me and all that, you know. And I said, well, I'm sorry. And so we started up on the way back up to the truck. And got this sweet little voice behind, Daddy, Daddy. I said, what? She said, I got to fess up. I got to tell you. Said, the reason I didn't shoot that turkey, I couldn't find the safety on that gun.
Oh, no.
And I said, no sweat. It ain't nothing but an old turkey.
Yeah.
And then, but we lost my turkey. I mean, we lost my cameraman. He filmed the turkey and everything. It was actually for an old guy, y'all probably remember, Ken Tucker. Y'all ever heard that?
I have heard
Sunshine Mill. He had that old dog that he carried. Sunshine was a big sponsor. And but I done a lot of TV shows. But Dale Fouts was running the camera for him that morning. And he had to go on and do some stuff. So we went by. You know, and she loved them, your bacon and like a couture at McDonald's, right? They roll them up, them eggs, you know, whatever they call them. And we got us a couple of them. And I said, I got a good place that I always love to hunt. So we'll run up there and see if we can get one going up there. Well, we walked out, and it was a little pond dam. We had to cross the pond dam, and I was on one side of it. And so I owl hooted and didn't hear anything. So I started cutting. Oh, I heard a turkey gobble. And I looked at her and I said, look, did you hear that turkey gobble? She says, no, I didn't hear. I said, well, come on, let's get a little closer. And we walked across the dam and popped right up over there. And the guy had a cow pasture there, beautiful, beautiful setting right there. And it was an old log road that he had around that went around through that cow pasture. And I said, that turkey, I think, right up there. I said, let's check him. And I went, wow, wow. Before I got the second note out, just about, he gobbled. I said, oh, he's going to come about 100 yards. He's coming. I said, we got to sit down here. And I was digging head nits out. And I finally just got hers pulled down. I didn't even get a head net on. I kind of tucked under right there. And, guys, you wouldn't believe it, but it was a beautiful dogwood tree sitting there about 30 steps. Mm-hmm. And it was hanging over the edge of the road. And I looked up there, and here come that turkey. I mean, just that quick come that turkey around. I told her, I said, look, when he gets to that dogwood tree, I said, you can shoot him. But I said, I'm not going to tell you to shoot him. I said, when he gets right there, and he come right up and got under that dogwood tree, boom, and she shot him. And, you know, the thing that, you know, where I tell you I may get choked up on, all the stuff was rolling in my head. And about 5 years earlier or so, might have been 3 years, it wasn't long, but my daddy shot his last turkey within 10 steps before she killed her first.
Oh, man. Wow. Yep. Right there close by.
Right there within 10 yards of where my daddy shot his last.
You know, I think that illustrates the value the wild turkey brings to us.
Yeah.
It's not just a bird. Think about the family traditions, the memories that he gets to share with his family.
Yeah.
And for four generations now of turkey hunters. Yep.
Wow.
And to share the same trees as our forefathers, as we know here. So now for Eddie to take his grandsons and to be able to create the memories that he's doing there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's something I hope all fathers cherish.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And he really, me and him turkey hunted together, but he didn't know no more than I did when we started out. You know, the first turkey I shot, I bushwhacked. You know, we didn't call him up. You know, me and him was hunting together, and we learned together, but he had other stuff to do. He was actually a road commissioner, and he was in the timber business too, and he didn't have a chance to hunt as much as I did. But, guys, I started when I was 10, and I killed that first turkey. And I tell everybody, if you married and got a job, don't start
turkey hunting.
You may lose both of them. But I choked up on that one, but – you know, I hunted with Mark. I say Mark's like my son, man. I imagine he's probably saw close to 100 turkeys that's been shot with video.
Wow.
Real close. I've called up. And but we were in Texas one day, and Mark had never killed a turkey with me. After, you know, we had hunted 7, 8, or 10 years, I called his wife. You know, I think I might have been her first turkey, wasn't it?
You called in her first turkey.
Yeah. But anyhow, we killed a turkey, and beautiful big old turkeys come in there. So we got some good footage of it and everything. But Mark had never killed a turkey, and we were riding down this road over there in actually we were on public ground right there. Here come a big old gobbler across the road with about a 12-inch beard right there, and went on up through there. And I told Mark, I said, let's get out there and. He was on the other side of the creek.
They don't like crossing them.
And no, but I told Mark, I said, sit up here and shoot him across the creek, and we'll go get him. And
we got legs.
So anyhow, old turkey done just like he ought to, and Mark shot him. And, you know, and old turkey gobbled good and done everything we wanted him to do. He cut up. And then I looked at Mark, and Mark was crying over there. And, you know, I didn't realize what it meant to him.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let him pick it up.
It gets me today because, like yourselves, I'm 50, I'll be 51 end of this month. And there's not a day that I ever remember as a turkey hunter not knowing who Eddie Salter
was. Oh, absolutely.
And my parents will tell you, for Easter, my mom used to load up my Easter basket with his stuff.
Oh, wow.
You know, from Hunter Specialties.
Yeah.
And she didn't probably know at the time what she was doing, but she was helping build a bond.
Yeah.
And so in 2007, when I got invited to go to his bow hunt in Evergreen, I went
And we had a great time, and Eddie and I became very close friends, and the rest has been history. But I had started, you know, turkey hunting with him not long after that, and started, you know, filming for him and guiding and doing some stuff. I've grown up a turkey hunter. My first turkey season, I was 14 years old. I didn't start at 10, but
yeah.
I was at 14. But long story short, every time we would be in camp and would have the opportunity to go hunting, I don't want to say I took it for granted, but I always felt our relationship would provide an opportunity for me.
Well, mm-hmm. for sure, yeah.
And so the other ones that came into camp that weren't as lucky as I was to be as close to Eddie as I am, I passed it along. Pass it forward.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we did, and that caught up with me. And so during that hunt, I'm sitting there, and this is all about to happen. And, man, I had to get myself together. I got to see. I got to be able to see.
I can't see.
I didn't realize it meant that much to him, you know. And it was an honor for me after it was said and done, and that's why I wanted to tell that story right there because, you know, hey, I'm just old redneck boy, grew up in Alabama, you know. And, of course, I look back and look at – I know a lot of y'all got a little age on you. You've heard of Ben Roger Lee before. And I believe I would near about give my right arm to being able to hunt with him. I was on some camps with him, but I never did get a chance to hunt with him, you know. And, you know, and I look at it, and I know a lot of people would love to have an opportunity to hunt with me. And I really cherish it. I appreciate that. But I met Mark. He didn't tell you the rest of the story. I met him on a church hunt that I've been doing for years and years. We raise money for the lads and leaders in my church. And we have a two-man bow team that you come down and you draw an area. And Mark come down there with a friend of his. That's the first time I met him. And he liked to kill all of my deer. I think they killed 9 and crippled up about 3 more down there in about 3 days. It was a competition.
He come down there angry, didn't he?
Yes, sir. But I said, well, I got to get to know this boy here. He's killing all these deer.
I better put the kibosh on this.
Well, I was proud that he was doing it, but I was wanting to know how he was doing it because I was a bow hunter too. And what it was, he found him some good white oaks that was dropping. And they were coming in there. That was rolling on his trees. I mean, them big chestnuts.
Yeah,
and you know, they did. I don't think they moved 100 yards the whole 3 days. They
didn't stay in the same tree.
And
got all those deer.
So you could only across the. I had 2 stands that were literally 10 yards apart.
Just based on the wind.
Depending on the wind.
Yeah. Wow.
And you know, you could shoot 2 does and a buck a day down there back then. You know, it's changed up now. We had to go with Alabama laws, but we still have that hunt. You know, we still have that hunt, and I look forward to it. I got guys that's been hunting with me, I think, 19 years right now. Sure have, on that same hunt down there. And we raise a lot of money for the church, and, you know, right now our old church is – the older folks has all died out. We ain't got no young folks. I mean, Evergreen's a little small town, guys.
Well, you know, rattlesnakes and pine trees is what I say about Evergreen.
That's about right. That's about right. And, you know, it ain't nothing for a young family to start a family. I mean, you know, get a young marriage to start families there. They got to go somewhere else to work. Yeah. So our church is gone downhill. We ain't got nobody much down there. So really, the money we raise now, you know, every now and then they'll come in and somebody may know somebody that ain't got no money to get buried. And I said, well, look, use that money and use it wisely. Yeah. And we take that money and try to do a lot with it for the community.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
Well, Mr. Eddie, you done messed up and talked about church. We love church stories. Do you have any church stories you can share with us?
I went into turkey call business in about 85, and this boy here wasn't born. He wasn't that old. But anyhow, my brother-in-law come to me and says, look, his name was Jackson Conway. And his granddaddy opened up, he had a big diesel shop up there, and he had wreckers where if people broke down, and he was really big-hearted. He'd help folks anyhow, but he would work on the diesel trucks and, you know, pull in wrecks with the wrecker. But my brother-in-law asked me, he said, I go to church with Jackson, and And I knew Jackson had come down with cancer. He had cancer in his jaw, and they went in there and took half his jaw out. And he was having a rough time, and he'd been going to Anderson out in Texas out there. His daddy actually just quit doing everything, and he started doing everything for Jackson. And he went on all these hunts around. And Jackson wasn't about 14 years old, guys. Oh, he carried him turkey hunting. He carried him elk hunting, mule deer hunting. And the whole community was wrapped around him. And he went to a little private school at Sparta Academy in Evergreen right there. But anyhow, Jackson, he wanted to turkey hunt with Eddie Salter. And my brother-in-law, he had talked to my brother-in-law about it. And I said, man, I found out about this in November, you know, right there at the end of November. And he said, now, I don't know if the little boy's going to live long enough to, you know. And I'm sitting there, what did I do, you know? He wants to turkey hunt with me, and I want to carry him on a spring turkey hunt. And, of course, we got, I think, 7 or 8 counties in Alabama you can fall turkey hunt in. But anyhow, I got to know a boy through a friend of mine, Amos Turner, that had some property in Florida. And Amos was saying said, this boy's got turkeys down there. He said they gobbling and strutting. And he said, man, you know, and come to find out, I went to looking, and Florida had a season. They had a winter season, and you could go down there and hunt. And I said, well, I wonder what it would be like if I took him down there. And you know, he said, the boy said, the turkeys are gobbling and strutting. And I said, well, okay, I'm going to take my decoys and, you know, go down there and see what's going on. So I broke off and went down there, and they rode me around. And sure enough, there was turkeys all over the place. And so we kind of picked out an area and went out there the next morning. But me in my mind, a turkey even gobble down here? You know, I've seen them gobble a little bit and act a little bit in the, you know, while I was deer hunting before anyhow. But while I got out, about 3 or 4 turkeys got them. Mm-mm. So we went on out there.
I'm interested.
That's right. We went on out there, and I mean, this is the first setup, guys. We went on out there, and the turkey here that was really gobbling good. I said, well, we were kind of in a long field, and I said, well, it was a beaver pond over here, but it wasn't no cover. It was real. I mean, it was open woods. This here is December, guys, right there. It's the tail end of December. And over here had a little bit of more green. I said, well, let's get on this side. So we got out there, and I got them set up, and I said, I'm going to put the decoy right out here. And this is early, and we got set up, you know, and I owl hooted again. I said, well, good. The turkey ain't messed up. I said, we made it in here. Well, first time I called, he gobbled. Another gobble. And then all at once, it was a bunch of jakes gobbling over here. Well,
good grief.
I mean, it was turkeys gobbling that war. I said, it's like a best spring morning you ever had, guys. Well, old gobbler flew down, and them jakes wadded up out there about 150 yards. No, about 125 yards. I hear, and they were gobbling. And they were looking at my decoy, and here come that old big turkey in. Well, he went out there and got a hold of them jakes, and he went to beating on them jakes.
Roughing them up.
Oh, yeah. And then all at once, he run them off that way, you know, and then he stood up out there about 125 yards. He gobbled. Man, just as pretty as you want to be. And he'd come in there about 25 yards. You know, I wasn't doing no whole lot of calling, just some basic hen, yep. And he come in getting closer, and he got closer, and he got closer. He come right on in there on top of that decoy, and I mean, 25 steps right in the boy's face, he gobbled. And he hadn't shot him. You know, most of the time, he knew what was going on. A good little old hunter, most of the time, they'll shoot him before you tell them to shoot him anyhow, you know. And I told Jackson, I said, Jackson, you better shoot that turkey. He killed the turkey, you know. And looking at it and look back at that story right there. And, guys, if the good Lord didn't have his hand on it.
He put it on there.
Oh, I promise you, why would a turkey gobbled and done all that? In December. It's a pretty of spring hunt. And Jackson, the only thing is, you know, he couldn't eat. We'd go eat out, and he couldn't even eat with us. He had to eat some kind of old soup or something that he drank, you know. And I told him, I said, well, Jackson, I tell you what, buddy. When March 25th or whatever, when season comes in Alabama, we're gonna go on a hunt in Alabama. You're going to be the first one on my list. Well, anyhow, he had an early, you know, a prom deal, which was like a week before the turkey season, and he was going downhill, guys. He went on downhill and ended up. He did take his little girl to prom, and then ended up dying a few days after that. And we never did get to spring turkey hunt.
But got the memory of that December.
Oh man! And right now, you know, I done a fundraiser the other day, and right there in Owosso, Alabama. Right there, close to where right before you get to Evergreen, he's got a beautiful cabin, kind of like y'all have got set up here, that he designed himself, put different woods in it, and he's got he just got that turkey that we killed right there on the wall. But he told his daddy, he said, I want one of them real big crosses that you see up and down the interstates. Yeah. You know, there's one right down before you get to up here. Gardendale. Right down, right now from Gardendale. Yep. And he wants, you know, and they raising money right now, I think.
To put a big
I think we raised, I think, $30,000 for this last one. So it won't be long. We're going to keep raising it. We're going to get him across.
Jackson's right big cross
and,
put up.
And that was what Jackson's drive and his mission was to provide those experiences.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why he had the cabin. Jackson was 14 years old, guys, and he had literally everything drawn out to a T.
Had a vision.
They have a little lake, a little pond out there. And it was provide other young individuals that were
with
going through
opportunities.
Diversities with opportunities as trouble-free as possible. That's the way he lined it out.
And his daddy takes kids hunting, you know, got problems or, you know, has, you know, where maybe he can help them out with different things, you know. And I think it's awesome.
That is awesome. You talked about having God giving you a gift, and it's incredible to see humans when they realize that gift, where it came from, and then turn around and give God the glory for it, and then use it to better his kingdom. And
no doubt.
Opportunities to come along. And a lot of people ignore them. You've got this gift, and they ignore that opportunity God's given you. But through these stories, we've seen already that you've really taken advantage of that. And that just speaks to volumes of who you are as a person, I think.
Well, you know,
I've never met you, but I can already tell you got a good heart.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Well, you know, hey, I thank him every day for, you know, letting me have the opportunity to, you know, I'm just an old, you know, I grew up and I didn't even have running water. We had to go outside to use a bathroom back when I was a boy. I grew up as hard as you want to grow up. And I respect it every day. And, I thank the good Lord for letting me see. And see, of course, I come along, you know, I'm 71. I come along at that time, everything was unfolding.
Yes, sir.
You know, I never did want anything. Right. That's for sure. I got everything I needed.
You know the old saying, apple doesn't fall far from the tree. We can't sit here and talk turkey and not talk about Mama. Eddie's mom, now I got to tell y'all, was the most dynamic woman I've probably ever known in my life. She lived to be 89 years old.
Wow.
And she'd probably still be with us today had she not suffered a medical situation. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, that woman, as Eddie describes what his life, his childhood was like, I may not have the exact number correct, but I'm going to be close. But she fostered nearly over 30 children.
Wow.
And sometimes two generations deep. And if you ever on the Salter compound, you will never, ever. And I say it, they all live together.
You know that you're loved when you're there.
You know there's so much love as soon as you pull in there. Every time I walk in the door, Mama Julie's hugging my neck, telling me how much she loves me. Their whole church, their whole community has adopted my wife and I. Mm. and always made us feel like family.
Very good.
And that's just...
Well, Mr. Eddie, along those lines, did Mama Julie, you said?
That's my wife.
That's your wife.
Yep.
Mama was...
Mama. Did Mama... Is she good at frying that turkey?
Oh, no doubt about it. She's actually, you know, and I finally got on my brother because she would take the turkey and clean it for him. I said, man, clean the turkey. And, you know, he was a lot younger. He was about 12 years younger than me, and he took advantage of it. My mama, she'd clean them turkeys. But see, Mama grew up. She grew up with her daddy. My granddaddy was a heck of a good turkey hunter, and he actually showed me how to build mouth calls. From a piece of lead, he actually, him and another guy, now I'm going to tell you the God's truth, he invented the mouth call. My granddaddy did. That's where it come from.
You heard it here
first.
He said that.
I heard you right.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And I mean, as far as I know, I'm sure you hear tales, but in 1929, this is coming from him. They met a man down at Mardi Gras in Mobile. And it was down there, and it was a man down there selling bird whistles that he had took a piece of lead and, you know, and he showed him, he beat it out, and he folded it over and put him a piece of latex in it, put him some tape on it, and he was whistling and calling birds with it. And my granddaddy and that other boy said, I believe we might can get some turkey sounds out of that because he was doing all kinds. So that's where they went with the idea, and that's where they ended up started making their own mouth calls out of, you know, regular lead.
Just exactly how much would I have to pay you to make me a lead mouth call?
Well, you know, you might get lead poisoning.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking in my mind.
But now I can still do it. Now, I'm going to explain to you, it's something pretty simple. You could do it yourself. You could go where they got this, like roof jacks, where in the bathrooms inside your house, where you run pipes up where the fumes will go up, where it won't stink in your house. Mm-hmm. They got a flat piece of lead up there that went under the shingles. Now it may be aluminum or different things, but you still see some of that old lead, and it's real thin and it's real foldable. Mm-hmm. You can take it and fold it over. And I've done it many times and just, you know, flatten it out with a hammer or something or other and then take a pocket knife and start just, you know, hulling it out. Cut your little horseshoe out of it and cut the size of it right there where it go right between your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And just get it where it go in there real comfortable because you don't want it. You want a little bit of space because you're going to open it up, put a piece of latex in it and put – I used to get Johnson & Johnson tape from an old football coach, you know, where he wrapped your ankles with it.
Yeah.
And I built my first turkey. My granddaddy showed me how to do it. Anyhow, it'd have that Johnson & Johnson and that latex around it, and you'd have it fit in your mouth. Now, the only key bad thing is that, you know, that old lead was so flimsy. It wouldn't be as tight as the calls now. Mm-hmm. But back then, we didn't know any difference, and we could call turkeys. I learned to call turkeys. And, you know, I actually, tell you the truth, the first turkey that I called up on my own was with a caller that I had made, and I took a orange balloon, a big old balloon, and I blew it up several times to try to, in my mind, I said, well, you know, if I keep blowing it up, it'll make it a little bit thinner and won't be quite as thick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I took a pair of scissors and cut it out and put it in that piece of lead that I had cut out, and of course I would use them from one year to the next, just put a different piece of latex in it. But I put a piece of orange balloon in there, and I killed my first turkey with an orange balloon.
That's pretty good. You know, you're not the first person that came on the podcast telling us about bird calls. Brother Darrell said that they used to make quail calls out of the Bruton snuff cans. Have you ever seen anybody do that?
Yes, sir. I sure have.
He said he still had his from a kid, but he's not sent us a picture of it. Yeah, put a nail in it or made a hole in it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've actually heard some good turkey calls. You know, you take it and stretch it, you know, cut a little moon out and stretch a piece of latex over it and call on it. Same way with a dogwood leaf or a piece of grass. That's how the Indians did. But now I can take a dog or cherry leaf or whatever. But you got to have leaves come out. But you can take it and fold it over a little bit. And it you can. I've killed turkeys with it myself with a leaf. Yes, sir. I can walk along that. And a dogwood leaf, you know, it's plentiful. You'd find them everywhere. I'd take a dogwood leaf, and I've killed several turkeys with a plain leaf.
Now, Mr. Eddie, you mentioned your grandmother and family and those memories. We'd love to hear a story from your childhood if you got one.
I got one, but it wasn't really from my childhood. This was about 10 years ago. And, you know, I'm actually, you know, do take a few people hunting a year. I do a little guiding. You know, I give people a chance. And most of the time, 90% of the time, I turn around and I charge them to hunt with me, but I donate that proceeds to other things that I want to do. And so I bring them in here, but it gives them opportunity to hunt with me. And I've met some nice people. But anyhow, I had four or five guys around, and they were actually deer hunting with me at this particular time. And Mama was famous about making some chicken and dumplings. Mm-hmm. But now she would go out there and get chickens off the yard. I mean, it was a real deal. And she'd scald them and pick them. I mean, it would when she cooked them chicken and dumplings, them dumplings would be nearby yellow because of that yard, that fat on them chickens. Yard I know y'all fat. Seen it. Mm-hmm. And boy, that makes some good chicken and dumplings too. But Mama, if they were young, because like I was telling you, she come up real. It was actually 14 in her family, and she was the oldest. So she was kind of like a little mama to all the little ones, and they were coming along about as quick as they could. But long story short, they used every bit of that chicken. Now, when they were young, the chickens young, they were, you know, 6, 8 weeks old, they would cut the feet off and clean them feet and scald them feet and clean them up. And she would actually cook the chicken feet. They would cook the chicken feet with the dumplings. So, and that was Mama. She would take, and it was like eating gristle type deal. And old folks used to do that. Honestly, it's kind of like an old squirrel head. You used to pop it in the head, you know, with a spoon, break it over and eat the brains out. Yeah, mm-hmm. The old folks, you didn't reach and grab that squirrel head, it was theirs. But anyhow, we were over there, and Mama had made them a bunch of chicken and dumplings. And them boys were talking, that was about the best chicken and dumplings they ever have eaten. And Mama forgot she had put them feet in there for her, and she had left one foot in there. And them boys pulled that chicken foot out, and it ruined that meal right there. Mama got chicken. I'll end up. You know, it was embarrassing to me, but I was laughing, too. I said, well, boys, y'all just got to overlook my mama. Now, she come up hard, and she washed that thing, and she scalded and cooked it.
It's clean.
And it's clean. But it had a little taste to it. I'm talking about it had a little gristle taste to it, had a little skin on it. It was good to eat.
Mama ended up getting chicken and dumplings and chicken foot.
So, anyhow, that's probably the best one I got to tell you on my mama now.
Man, yeah, that generation was different.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they sir. Ain't going to waste nothing.
They were taught to appreciate nothing. Everything. Yeah. Everything.
They eat everything but squeal off the pig.
That's it.
That's awesome. I love hearing stories from that generation, though. I mean, it's just different. They did things different and lived hard but lived strong.
You know, the bad thing is that our generation is dying out. Yes. I mean, our generation, you know, they don't know nothing about planting gardens and going out there and raising chickens and – you know, of course, these eggs keep getting high as they are. It's going to be a lot of people getting back in the chicken business.
Well, we went last week to a chitlin cook, and I eat a pile of them. And I like them if they're cooked right. But somebody was up there and said, why on earth would you eat them? And I said, because this makes me so thankful for what I do have throughout the week.
That's right.
I mean, I eat it because every time I put one in my mouth, I'm thinking, I'm thankful I don't have to eat this every single day.
Well, you know, the bad thing about it is just smelling them cooking.
Oh.
That's the bad thing. They ain't so bad after, you know, you fry them a little bit right there or whatever. You know, most of the time, that's the way they do it. I eat them fried.
That's what we did.
Yes, okay, sir. Good deal.
Yeah, and you're right. If you can get past them cooking, you could probably eat them.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you're talking about this generation. How many people, if things were to back up about 35, 40 years, wouldn't make it. Mm-hmm. They really wouldn't because if it ain't at McDonald's or at Jack's or at
some other fast food restaurant, they wouldn't know where it would come from.
Well, just this week, guys, you wouldn't believe it. I was planting ice potatoes this week. You know, you're cutting the eyes out of the potatoes and putting them. I love them little red potatoes out of the garden.
Yeah, like y'all about 2 weeks ahead of us down there in Evergreen. So about another week and a half, I'm going to have some ground turned up. We'll have some planted too. So.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a perfect segue talking about that generation could do a lot with a little. And so we're going to talk about Philippians in a kind of a little similar, but a little different too. So Philippians, and this is a popular verse, but it's often used a little differently than Paul, I think, intended it. But Philippians 4:12-13. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty.
That's awesome. I mean, that's what it's all about.
I tell you what, guys, y'all don't know me very well, but Eddie will tell you this, 4:13 is my favorite. For us to talk about this today.
Just fitting, huh?
Boy, well, tell us about it. What
makes do you love it your about favorite? It?
Yeah.
Because it empowers me. Mm. I feel when I'm feeling down, when I'm feeling blue or wondering why, I don't have to worry anymore. Because I know through Christ.
Through Christ, who
strengthens me.
Yeah.
And I've carried that verse, and it's on a lot of different placards and things in my house, and I've carried it in my heart my entire life. So
very good.
It rings home very close.
Well, nothing's happenstance. I don't think this is just part of my, we've been doing Ephesians, but this was part of my morning devotion this morning. So that's why. So
well, that fit right in there, man. You couldn't have been no better right there. Good Lord.
Yes, sir.
Got his hand right there again.
He's working right along. And
he is.
He puts people in your life for a reason, fellas.
That's right.
And,
well, I hope I get a chance to come back up here and we can talk some more. I got some great stories too.
Well, the door is open.
Well, I got one from a boy from Illinois up there that just is a heartbreaker. It's going to take a little longer than about 10. I might get it in there about 10 or 12, but he actually kind of helped me open my eyes up a little bit more.
Really?
Yeah, I guarantee you.
Well, if you can just throw a few of them turkey gobbles in, I'll listen to you.
Now, hey, that old aluminum box, have y'all heard it run? Mm. That little high end, that's aluminum.
Buddy.
They can hear it back here.
I was about to say, they can hear that in Birmingham.
But you know, I take a lot of pride in making turkeys gobble with a mouth call. Mm-hmm. You know, I was lucky enough to win a few world contests. But I don't really think it's a turkey that I can't make gobble, but I've been proved with this box they are. Because I've been out there and turkeys just, you know, you go out one morning, they would not say nothing, and I would, pack, 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 call, 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 pack, pack. And they wouldn't gobble. I'd break that old high box out here. Hit a little kiki. You're going to pull it out of him. Now, that don't say that you're going to go down and call him up and kill him. Mm-hmm. Just because he gobbles don't mean he's going to come riding in your truck that day.
I'm just so thankful we heard it from Eddie Salters, because Philip stays on me. Oh, Shane took me turkey hunting. Guess how many turkeys we heard gobble? None.
No, I was like,
you can't just make them all the time.
That's right. Now, I've actually been out there not make them gobble with this right here. If they ain't there, and that's what
if they ain't there, they ain't going to gobble.
We talk about, you know, I'm going to go do a seminar up in Muscle Shows here. And here in just a little bit, I'm on my way up there now. But, you know, the first thing I'll tell them, I said, guys, you know, we'll be looking at all these calls. You can take a wheelbar full of turkey calls out there. But if there ain't no turkeys out there in the woods, you ain't accomplished nothing. But you're going to run into days where there are turkeys out there, and
they
ain't going to be talking that day. They ain't wanting to say nothing. So, but I think that's what keeps us going back.
That's exactly right.
We're going to break the streak this year.
We're going to kill one this year.
We're going to break the streak. So.
Well, look here. I don't think it'd be fitting if we left Mr. Eddie here and we didn't sing him a song.
Come on here.
Ready?
Yeah.
Eddie Salter,
King of the 10-inch beard.
Hey, y'all go ahead and give me five on that. Yeah,
give me five. All right, man. Give me five. We'll give Mark five.
Yeah, give me five, Mark.
Golly, boy. It's been a dream come true, and we mean that. You're welcome back anytime. I cannot believe life has come full circle.
Check these calls out.
Hey, they can find him at Vans.
Vans, Sporting
Goods, Mark's. I just come out of Mark's out of Birmingham, and now we're going to a new store right there in Muscle Shoals called Rivalry.
Rivalry.
Hey, I'll tell y'all.
Rival, real quick. Not Rivalry.
Mr. Eddie gave me one of these turkey calls for my birthday. I think it was about in 2019. He said, son, you need to take this call right here. It was one of the first ones he had done of that type. He said, you need to take this call right here. He signed it to me, happy birthday and everything, you know. He said, you need to put this call up. He said, before you put this call up, go call you up a turkey with it and then put it up. I said, okay. Well, he asked me later on that season. Of course, I'd hunted with him quite a bit, and he knew I'd, you still carrying that call? He said, yeah, I'm still carrying that call. He said, I thought I told you to put it up. Well, when he looked at the side of it, today, there's about 70-something birds that have been called up by that daggum call.
Marked on the side.
Oh, where I have banded it. Yeah. And you won't get it out from underneath my hands now.
It ain't going on the shelf.
It'll go on the wall when I'm done with
it. Yeah,
that's
put it up
what
backwards.
I think about those calls.
Well, now, I got a good friend. I got a good friend over in Greene County that I give one to about the same time. And I ain't no telling how many he's got on his. $10,000 wouldn't get it. He puts it in the safe. You. He puts it in the safe when he ain't hunting.
When he ain't hunting.
Oh, I guarantee you.
That's right up here with the guns. That means it's important.
He actually broke his glass out of it, and then he run the boy down. He was good friends with the boy that owns Hounds too.
Mm-hmm.
And he got him to put a new, he didn't get up with me, but he put a new glass in there, and it didn't mess with the sound chamber. He just put a new top on it. It cracked, and he put a new top on there. And he still and he thinks, and it, one of his buddies right there does the same thing. He puts it in the safety deposit down there in the bank. And there you go in there with the keys and lock in the safe deposit. He keeps his in there when he ain't hunting with it.
That's a good call.
That's a good call. you just tell that story.
Sell them all.
We're going to let you get to Muscle Shoals.
Yep.
That's going to do it today at the Hayden, Alabama podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Mark.
I can't do that.
No.
Y'all have a good week. We'll see you next time.